Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show back on the radio. News Radio 1070, WKOK. Also find us at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook, Twitter handle. Give us a follow at Steve Jones PSU. And Sean Carey, Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio on a Steve Jones Thursday. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Be with you live till 5, then late day news roundup. Matt Cotrillo at the anchor desk tonight. Be with you till 6 for that. Then 6:05 will be our Penn State football show tonight. The coach's show starring James Franklin. As we're now just under 48 hours away from the start of the 2017 Nittany Lions football season. With huge expectations on the line. Penn State Akron, a noon kick on Saturday. And Steve and Jack Hamm will be hosting the tailgate out in front of the Jordan Center ticket office Saturday morning, 10:30 here on WKOK. After the coach's show tonight with Steve and head coach James Franklin, we'll have Phillies baseball. The Phillies will be in Miami for the weekend. Tonight's the start of a four-game series. Ben Lively will be on the mound for the Fightins with a record of 1-5. Now, he has pitched better than his record since making his major league debut on June 3rd. Had a 3.70 ERA in his first eight starts before slipping his last time out, allowing six runs in five innings. Phillies are just 2-7 when Lively starts. They've scored two or less runs in five of his appearances. So you got Phillies and Marlins tonight. That's a 7:10 first pitch here on WKOK. And also tonight, the NFL will wrap up its preseason schedule. Eagles will be on Eagle 107 this evening at the New York Jets. Pregame will begin at 6 with Glenn Macnow and Dave Spadaro, Ray Dinger. And then 7 o'clock tonight will be the kick with Merrill Reese, Mike Quick, and Howard Eskin. Steelers will be wrapping up their preseason at Carolina tonight. Obviously, no Ben, no AB in the lineup tonight. And that'll be a 7:30 kick tonight on 100.9 The Valley. And coverage will start 2 hours before kick at 5:30. Steelers have been in the news quite a bit over the past few days. A couple days back, picking up tight end Vance McDonald in trade with San Francisco. Swapping picks. Pretty much the only difference is like 10 picks between the fourth and the fifth round. So Mike Tomlin said yesterday in a press conference that Jesse James and Xavier Grimble not playing at the varsity level, so wanted to go out and get a... And it turns out he was a overall second-round draft pick a few years back. So you have a new tight end in Pittsburgh, and the huge news yesterday, the story originally broke yesterday morning at 8 o'clock when Joe Hayden was cut by the Cleveland Browns, and barely 8 hours later... It was barely a few minutes after the Pittsburgh Steelers touched ground in Charlotte yesterday to prepare for their preseason game tonight with the Carolina Panthers. It was announced that the Steelers had signed Joe Hayden on a 3-year deal, $27 million guaranteed. He'll be paid $7 million this year. So in case things don't work out with Hayden, they could cut bait this year, and they're only on the hook for $7 million. But when I first saw 3-year $27 million, I was like, man, how are they going to be able to afford that? Just kind of thinking long-term picture, and long-term picture. Okay, then where are they going to, you know, find the money for Le'Veon Bell? And yes, then sooner or later, you're going to have to re-up Stephon Tuitt and Ryan Shazier. So they're definitely all in, the Steelers for sure, especially for the two signings the past few days. Ross Cockrell with a very unimpressive preseason so far. Neil Coulon commented on that earlier this week during his conversation with Steve Neal from USA Today, an NFL writer for the Steelers Wire. And William Gay is not getting any younger, long of the tooth. So they shored that up for sure with the overall, the number 7 pick in the 2010 NFL draft of Joe Hayden now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Has recorded 19 interceptions and 100 passes defended in 7 seasons. So for sure, secondary, a lot better now, the Steelers are with Joe Hayden in the lineup. Glad you're with us today here for the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Thoughts and prayers continue to go out to those dealing with the terrible situation in Texas, now going on day 7, the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. And the longtime NFL writer for the Houston Chronicle, John McClain, scheduled to join us at 3:35 this afternoon. John was very vocal earlier this week on social media addressing the Dallas Cowboys-Houston Texans game, saying, why are they even playing this game? Just scrap it all together. There's more important things to deal with, like saving lives. Well, it turns out yesterday did receive word that that final preseason game tonight, which was originally supposed to be in Houston, was moved to AT&T Stadium, to Jerry World. That was about this time yesterday, caught word, actually right before lunchtime, our time yesterday, that the Dallas-Houston game would be scrapped for tonight in order for the members of the Texans, players and coaching staff could head back to Houston and join in the fight and the fundraising. And boy, speaking of fundraising, how about J.J. Watt raising over $10 million? Last we spoke with you on Tuesday, we were talking about that toward the end of the show. And at that point, J.J.'s fundraising was almost about $3.25 million. So since then, he has raised over $7 million more. What a tremendous effort. Now, by the way, I'll bring this up since we're talking about making donations for the victims in Texas for Hurricane Harvey. For people here in the central Susquehanna Valley, there is something you can do for sure. Our buddy Drew Kelly from across the hall over on 94KX, since daybreak this morning, he has been in Watsontown. We've been telling you about the fundraising efforts going on at Revival Tabernacle Church in Watsontown. They want to fill 2 trucks, and it's called Operation Relief for Houston. Revival Tabernacle Church is at 960 Susquehanna Trail in Watsontown. And they got 2 trucks, and they want to get that stuff down to Houston as soon as possible. And you can stop by the church tonight till 9, and they'll be there all day tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And they have gotten in contact with people in Texas who have told them what they need. So your donations will not go to waste, for sure. Items needed include water. Bring a case or two of water with you. Towels and blankets, phone chargers of any brand, over-the-counter medicines, pet food, as the animal rescue has just been huge down there too, mops and brooms, personal hygiene items, toothbrushes, toothpaste, and easy-to-prepare non-perishable food items. So whatever you'd like to give, and also they are taking monetary donations so the truck drivers can buy gas, because they figure the price of gas for 2 trucks to go from central PA to Texas going to cost quite a bit. Could go upwards of 4 figures. So they're also taking cash donations so they can have enough fuel to get to Houston. So again, this is called Fellowship in the Community event, Operation Relief for Houston. And you can stop by the Revival Tabernacle Church, 960 Susquehanna Trail in Watsontown. That's through 9 tonight and then tomorrow 9 until 9. And your generosity will be greatly, greatly appreciated. And the response so far has been wonderful. But don't rely on everyone else to handle this. All right? Do what you can. All right? And kudos to our buddy Drew Kelly, who's been part of that project since after daybreak this morning, helping to spread the word about the items that are needed in Texas. So we hope you can do what you can. And we'll check in with John McClain at 3:35 to get his take as to what's been happening down there, the very latest from the Houston Texans standpoint with head coach Bill O'Brien and the team and where they go from here. All right. We'll also have our high school football roundtable. Normally, we have that at 3:35, but since John McClain is only available at 3:35, we're going to put him in that time slot. We'll have our high school football roundtable next hour as we push toward week two of high school football here on WKOK tomorrow night. It'll be Shikellamy heading to the Mount Carmel area Red Tornadoes to the Silver Bowl. Seawolves Grove, they have their home opener with Montoursville. Yeah, with Shikellamy defeating Montoursville last week, 44-20. Lewisburg will be at Central Columbia on 100.9 The Valley. And you got the Tomato Bowl tomorrow night at Alumni Field. Milton and Warrior Run on WMLP. So we'll talk to all of our play-by-play guys at 4:06. And it's the return of the picks segment tomorrow, by the way, with Steve's brother Kevin Jones checking in from Connecticut. Have him on in his usual Friday 4:35 spot. We'll start picking some college football games. And got four or five that we'll pick from. And see where we go from here. And, of course, tonight after our show, Steve will be going to the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin. Get coaches' thoughts as we get closer to the kickoff of the 2017 Penn State football season here on WKOK Saturday. That'll be a noon kick against Akron. And be up and running with the tailgate show Saturday morning at 10:30. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Back after this on WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia had their best July in 5 years.
Thanks to the drastic discounts on all new Kias.
Guess what? SMC is doing it again in August.
Wanna see you in Kia.
Those drastic discounts are extended into August at SMC. And there are 76 new Kias to choose from. 2017 Kia Fortes start at $15,997. 2017 Kia Souls as low as $16,698. The 2017 Hybrid CUV, the Kia Niro, starting at $22,879. Plus, Sunbury Motors Kia has accepted a special shipment of 5 2017 Serenos that are priced at just $24,989. And SMC has financing as low as 0% for up to 66 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotorskia.com.
Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 8/31/17. Restrictions apply. Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer, go to kia.com.
Sunbury Motors Studio on this Thursday. Great to have you with us on the show today. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, next half hour. We'll talk about the situation down there. High school football previews move back to 4:06 today as we get ready for the second week of the high school football season. Week two coming up. It's an interesting dynamic starting earlier. Don't you think, Sean? I think it is. Second year in a row they've done it. I think it's a very interesting dynamic to see how it catches on with people. Now, it's been a cooler fall.
Last year, cooler summer, I should say. Yeah, last year, week one, it was absolute sauna bath for all of our guys up in the press boxes. So, yeah, it was a complete 180 last week. So, no complaints from our crew. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just been so ingrained that we're always expecting football to start the Friday of
this
Labor
weekend.
Day. Yeah, Friday of Labor Day weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's week two. Now, college football, of course, starts in earnest tonight with Ohio State and Indiana. I think it's a game for 2.5 quarters, and then I think the last quarter and a half it is not. You could talk about Tom Allen knowing Kevin Wilson so well, Kevin Wilson knowing Tom Allen so well. The bottom line is Kevin Wilson's got better players. He's got better personnel. But here's the odd thing about it. Ohio State, and I'll say it's right up front, their defensive line is just fabulous. I mean, they're too deep. Their second group would start for a lot of people. They're that good on the defensive front. But you know what I find interesting about their offense? If you go JT Barrett, Mike Weber, tight end Marcus Baugh, and their wide receiving group led by Paris Campbell, which one of those guys, which one of those six guys would you trade and replace a Penn State guy with? Which one? I'd say none. That's me. You may have a completely different take, a different opinion on it. But there is not, among the skill position guys for Ohio State, who are very good, there isn't one that I would take over a Penn State guy. I'd take Kosicki over Baugh, I'd take Barkley over Weber, I'd take McSorley over Barrett. Same thing with Tompkins, Johnson, Deshaun Hamilton. I think they're just better than the Ohio State guys in the skill position spots. What I'm going to find interesting for Ohio State is this. Who do you replace the secondary with? Who? What they did last year was remarkable because they had to replace the secondary from the year before. And it turned out three guys were drafted within the first two rounds, and if Conley hadn't gone astray off the field, they probably would have had three first-round picks with Lattimore, Hooker, and Conley. Well, after 1 year of those guys, you have to replace them again. It's going to be very interesting to see how they do that. Indiana will test them throwing the football. And Indiana's defense, by the way, is better than the traditional Indiana defense that you're thinking of. But I think better is only 2.5 quarters worth of better. I think for 2.5 quarters, midway through the third quarter, this is a game, and I think Ohio State then pushes away and beats them. It's also going to be interesting tonight to see what the crowd is like at Bloomington. It'll be sold out, but what percentage of the crowd will be Ohio State fans? It is not a difficult trip from Columbus to Bloomington. You're going to have a lot of Ohio State fans there tonight. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, next half hour. Looking forward to talking to him about what's happening down in Houston. Also want to get into a couple of areas with him in the NFL. The Elliott suspension. A little bit on the Texans. J.J. Watt, Bill O'Brien. But I also want to ask him about, I'm sorry, the Texas Rangers did not switch out the series with Houston. I don't care. They should have. I don't want to hear about logistics. Every time I turn around, I always hear about problems. Well, it'd be a problem to do this. It'd be a problem to do that. All right? Solving the Manhattan Project, that was a problem. Okay? That's a problem. Okay. Switching a baseball series is not. Get sick of hearing people saying how they can't do things. I want to start hearing people who can.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by John McClain, Houston Chronicle, who's back in Houston now. John, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve. I just drove back from Dallas today. The Texans drove back yesterday. They couldn't wait to get home and get back with their families. And it's amazing to me. I don't see any water anywhere. It's business as usual. I know there are some suburbs that are close to creeks and rivers and the reservoir that had to have water left out that are still flooded. But where I've been in one of the busiest parts of Houston, right now I'm at the stadium. I don't see any water.
Well, that's amazing. Now, do you live in an area that would be a flood prone area yourself, or are you in an area that's,
I do not.
That's a little bit different than
what we're saying? I wouldn't be that dumb. I've been in my house for 30 years, and I made sure our drainage. I went to a place where they'd replaced they'd redone the streets and replaced the drainage, and my wife wrote it out. Four straight days of incessant rain, and she said it barely came over the curb. So we were very, very fortunate, and compared to many others whose lives are shattered.
It's remarkable. You know what really strikes me is so many people from Katrina were taken to Houston and stayed, I believe, in the Astrodome for a period of time. And some of them ended up staying and living in Houston, which means they've had to go through something like this twice.
Yeah, I don't remember Louisiana reaching out and asking everybody to come over there. Now, they sent people, and they're great, but we took, I think, half of New Orleans population, and then they scattered around Texas. There's been some really good athletes who would have been in high school there, have come up through high school here, college. Some of them are playing pro sports, but because Texas is so big and we got so many cities, we were happy to have them. And one of the reasons we didn't have the problems that New Orleans had, even though we had more rain, is because their levees broke. They had old, poor infrastructure. And even though a lot of people are they've been critical of our bayous and not doing enough, we have a great drainage. Once it stops, it almost disappears unless you're by a creek. And I just went by the bayou that is the most important in town, and it was normal. But some of the suburbs by creeks and rivers, those are still having problems. But it's been a remarkable experience. What we did on HoustonChronicle.com with our photographers and the stories I was watching almost 24/7, plus the Weather Channel did a great job, as did all the media in Houston. It's a time like this when people really rely on the media.
There's no question about it, and they've been able to show us why we need to donate and help out. How much of a relief was it for the players to get back to Houston themselves to be with their families?
They were talking about how helpless they were. The Texans had 10 players stayed here from New Orleans because of injuries. They couldn't get to the team, but they got to be with their families, and the team told the players who were at the Cowboys facility practicing for the last 2 days and staying in Dallas for, let's see, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday nights, that they had a crew here that if families need to be evacuated, if they needed help, they would provide it. Bill O'Brien, the coach, and Rick Smith, the general manager, did a great job of leadership. And then once they got a clear path to Houston from the city officials that they could come back to Energy Stadium where their cars were parked and get home, that's when they said, look, we want to cancel this game. It was their decision. The Cowboys and the league signed off on it. And so there's no need to play a meaningless preseason game when players' hearts and heads wouldn't have been in it because their hearts and heads were here with their families.
No question. I know it's not a football question, but the Astros and Rangers did not flip-flop series. Instead, they played down at Tropicana Field. And the Rangers said, well, you know, logistics, and we can't do it, and we'd be on the road four straight. Were you disappointed by that decision?
I was. You know, the Texans are going to play the Jaguars here on September 10th, but their owner, Shad Khan, offered to swap the games, which means Jacksonville would have three in a row on the road. And so he didn't hesitate because some things are bigger than sports. Now, the Rangers didn't do that, but the Rangers gave $1 million, better the money. I mean, I understand from a competitive standpoint, and they just beat the heck out of the Astros in those two games. But if you can give it up and them give $1 million, it was worth it.
you mentioned that the Texans are going to be home here at some point. Eventually, the Astros will be in postseason. Do you think just the fact that postseason baseball and then the NFL is going to be there, because just because the water recedes doesn't mean the problems go away. For some people, it's going to be months and maybe a year, year and a half before some normalcy returns to some areas and to some lives. Can sports be an important vehicle to get that message out? Because what I'm talking about will be games that will be taking place down the road and in October to then revisit Houston.
Well, we're going to have games next week. Texans open here on September 10th. The Astros are coming back to town because there's no problems. There's no problems with the roads, the freeways, stadiums are fine. And so they'll be back. And sports is a big part of the healing process. I wrote a column 2 days ago talking to the Texans about, yes, they want to play the game here. When J.J. Watt runs out of the tunnel waving the American flag, the decibel level at NRG Stadium will be just incredible, because he's so popular to begin with, and now his online fundraising, which is more than $10 million today and going up, and he is personally with his teammates going to distribute things. He's got 18-wheelers coming in loaded up. It's just a massive effort that he has spearheaded, and so the Astros will be back, and so, yes, sports are a big part of the healing process, as the Saints were when they came back for the first game against the Falcons after Hurricane Katrina. That is still the loudest crowd I've ever heard.
Yeah, I bet it was. And that was a year after, because they had spent that year on the road, if I recall.
Yes, for that dome had to be done, and when they came redone, and when they came back, the I've never heard anything like it.
Yeah, no, amazing. When Watt was at Wisconsin, it happened to be those 2 years that had rotated off Penn State's schedule, so I was never around him. I never saw him play. What is it about his that generosity within him, the feeling he has with him about community, and also what, you know, and where is he now as a player on the comeback trail?
First of all, it comes from his parents, his mom and dad. They're incredible people. He's got those blue-collar values, and he's been that way since he got here. I know a lot of people say he's a phony. They don't like the fact he's got so many commercials or he does so many things like invited to host the CMAs in Nashville, but and been in a couple of movies. But he's just a big kid being a kid. He's single, and he doesn't have any kids yet. He wants to be a high school coach back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at some point after he retires. And he's 100% back. Right now, if he plays well this year, there's a good chance he might win Comeback Player of the Year. If he plays great, he could be the first four-time winner of the NFL Defensive Player of the Year Award. And I believe right now he's probably going to win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So he could win. He could be a three-time winner at the NFL Honors Show in Minneapolis before the Super Bowl.
Obviously, with Bill O'Brien here, John, I saw what he could do with Matt McGloin. I saw what he did initially with Christian Hackenberg. He's had eight quarterbacks with Houston. Tom Savage looks like he's going to be the guy. When you look at Tom Savage, is there something in him that you see that Bill O'Brien really likes?
Tom is the guy. He's the starter. He's been hurt each of his first three seasons. Bill O'Brien has benched his starter in each of his first three seasons, so the odds are at some point Deshaun Watson's going to play. But right now, Savage had a better preseason. Watson has been, they like him a lot. They think he's special. O'Brien has not been able to get a quarterback here to be consistently productive, and they hope it'll be Savage, who's in the last year of his contract, or Watson. Savage is the fifth quarterback they've employed in the last 5 years to start the season, and Watson will be next year, so it'll be 6-6.
Amazing. Amazing. And yet they still have made the playoffs. I mean, that's amazing to be able to do that.
They're trying to win the division for the fifth time in 7 years, third in a row. But they've never been beyond the divisional round, because the divisional round game's always on the road. They need to be good enough to host that game, but unless they get a lot better play at quarterback, that's not going to happen.
John, we're thrilled that everything is well for you and for yours, very much so. I know that you carved out a few minutes of time for us today. I don't want to overstay our welcome, and I appreciate very much everything that you do. Really, really greatly respect your work.
Steve, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
John McClain, Houston Chronicle, giving us a read on what's going on down there and also with the Texans down there. They are going to play. The Astros, in fact, are playing at home this weekend. The Astros are playing at home this weekend. We will come back with more in a moment. Our high school football previews, we normally do them on Thursdays at this time, but because we could get John McClain of the Houston Chronicle on, we're going to move that, the high school previews, to the next half hour. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Our thanks to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle for giving us a read on what's going on down there. There are obviously a wide variety of charities that you can donate to. J.J. Watt, he mentioned specifically what he's been doing. And what J.J. Watt has done is they've raised seven figures so far for relief down there. There's also the American Red Cross at redcross.org that you can make a donation to help. It's going to take a long time for many people down there to rebuild from Port Arthur to Beaumont to Houston to Kingsport all the way down to Corpus Christi. There's just so much water down there. But again, it's one thing I checked earlier. You mentioned where they play, Reliance Stadium, and I had noticed the entire time that nothing was an issue up in that area. And same thing with Minute Maid Park. Minute Maid Park, where the Astros play, is not an issue. In fact, the Astros will be playing at home this weekend, and then the Texans will open up next week as well. But you mentioned how Jacksonville had offered to move the game and flip-flop spots. And it would have meant the Jags would have been on the road three straight weeks, but they didn't care. I know the Rangers gave $1 million. I appreciate that. But they should have flip-flopped instead of going to Tropicana Field. I always hear that it's so difficult to do this and it's difficult to do that. Oh, for goodness sakes. Splitting the atom is difficult. All right? Moving baseball games is not. It's not. Oh, there's a challenge to it, and I appreciate the challenge of it, but don't make it seem like you're climbing Everest. You're not. All right. Well, here's Saturday, Beaver Stadium. Interesting, we talk about Harvey, we actually make the remnants of it moving through here this weekend. But I'm reading more and more that whatever heavy stuff we get is going to be after the game. We'll see how it plays out. That's why we have the weather guys. They're the ones, they're the experts on that. I just guess. But I'm just trying to read what they've been putting down for us to see for the game coming up on Saturday. Look, you just want to open and get going with this. You just want to open and get going with it. The off season, in retrospect, feels like it went by in a blur, but as you're going through it, it didn't. And I think part of it is that once they got to training camp began July 31st. Well, that's the longest training camp I can remember around here in terms of the number of days, because there were no two-a-days. Oh, yeah, there have been 29 practices the last few years, but you had two-a-days, which compressed the schedule a little bit by, maybe almost a week. And by taking the days and tacking it to the front, I think that's made it a little more difficult. I know it's one thing to talk to James Franklin about it, but it's interesting when you talk to Joe Susan, and then when we had Terry Bowden on the show earlier in the week discussing it, what they talked about was not just the length of it and what you have to do with it, but also the expense involved. It is not for a Power 5 school. With the mega television deals and so forth, all right, there is an expense and you do have to pay for it, but it's manageable. And a smaller school, whether it's a Mid-American Conference school like Terry Bowden or an FCS school like Bucknell, every dime really has to be accounted for along the way. And so in order to do this, you have to somehow, some way, stretch the budget a little bit to make it happen. So there is, that's why I think when they sit down to look at this issue in the off season, I've got a feeling you're going to see a cutback in days, maybe from 29 to 26, maybe 29 to 25. I'd say 29 to 26 probably. I don't think they'll be as radical and knock 4 days off, but and part of it's going to be cost containment, not for the Power 5 schools, but cost containment for MAC schools, Conference USA schools, FCS schools. I mean, that's where it's going to come down with the cost containment issue. And when you look at that, and I think that that's something that I think is going to be discussed, because that part felt like it went forever. This is, what, August 31st, and they started July 31st. Well, today they'll have their last full practice today before the game. They'll do a walkthrough tomorrow, and then they'll finally play on Saturday. And then you get into that game week routine, which they're in now, but you really feel like you're in a game week routine once you go from 1 to 2. And they'll do that for the next 6 weeks before they get a bye week. And then the bye week will lead into Michigan. And then, of course, you've got Ohio State, Michigan State, and that three-game set that they've got coming up right after the bye week. Next week, of course, you know, next week they've got Pitt. We're going to get a lot more into that starting on Tuesday, obviously. We'll rehash the game for you on Tuesday and then talk a lot more about Pitt and, you know, about the series, where it stands. You know, we'll get into some of the numbers dealing with nine-game schedules versus eight-game schedules and so forth, but that'll be part of the conversation for next week. But at least college football begins tonight. Ohio State and Indiana will be the game that people watch. Again, I think it'll be a game for 2.5 quarters. Like for 2.5 quarters, because, you know, I think Indiana is at home. It's also going to be interesting to see what the percentage in the crowd is of Indiana versus Ohio State. It is not a difficult trip for Ohio State fans. In Indiana, usually on a normal day, will draw 37,000 with 15,000 empty seats. Well, I can tell you right now, those 15,000 empty seats will be picked up immediately by Ohio State fans. So it's going to be interesting to see what the percentage is in the building coming up tonight. And then the game itself, what has Kevin Wilson done with that offense? One thing I do expect them to do, something that Ohio State abandoned last year offensively, I expect Kevin Wilson to put a far greater emphasis on the short to medium range passing game. I felt last year as the season went along, Ohio State abandoned the intermediate passing game. And it was either a dump off to a back or they really tried to stretch the field. I felt as the season went last year, they abandoned the intermediate passing game. In fact, the intermediate passing game was almost non-existent against Penn State. I think Kevin Wilson will make sure the intermediate passing game is there and involved for Ohio State tonight. Now, as for Indiana, Richard Leggo can throw it. No getting around it. He can throw it. May not be completely consistent throwing it, but he can throw it. The question is, how much time is he going to have to throw it? Because the best unit on that field tonight will be the Ohio State defensive front, first and second team. They'll rotate eight guys in there, and all eight are capable of starting. And that, to me, is the difference in the game tonight. Then we got some... Tomorrow night, I think, what, Utah State plays Wisconsin, Rutgers plays Washington. The game I actually will probably watch instead of those two will be Colorado, Colorado State, and Denver.
I figured we'd add that to our picks segment for tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm glad that was added when I saw that. Because, you know, Colorado will be the opener. Colorado State played Saturday. So they actually have a game under their belt, a plus, but only 6 days to get ready for Colorado, a minus. But I think that'll be an intriguing game to watch. And we did put that on the Pick'em segment for tomorrow. High school football previews. Week 2 is coming up. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.